core group today, huh?
All right, so how are we doing?
Doing all right? All right.
Bill, it seems like obviously they got guys who are really disruptive on their own, but they also schematically seem to dial up a bunch of pressure, and also in the back end. A lot of man coverage in the back end. That's sort of how you're seeing it, those two things?
Yeah, a lot of man coverage, a lot of pressure. Yeah, it's mostly all man coverage, really. I mean, in the end, even the zones are matched. So, yep, they're very disruptive up front. A little bit of secondary pressure, but not a lot. It's more linebacker pressure and man coverage. That's what they do.
You have a guy like Watt. I'm probably not going to ask this right, but when Brady's at the line and you know he's making his calls in terms of blocking assignments, and you have a guy as disruptive as Watt, is it common to make a call for a double team for a certain guy, or is that just sort of the basic stuff that you put in, you know, way back when?
Well, I mean, I think it depends on how you have it set up, how that play is set up, or how your game plan's set up. So, you know, we've faced guys before. You know, I'd say guys you got a game plan for, you know, the Freenies and the Jason Taylors and, you know, guys like that, or, you know, whether they're inside or outside guys. And you just have to decide, you know, how you're going to handle them. If you're going to – I mean, first of all, if they blitz, then you have to pick up the blitz, and the double team is really – doesn't exist. But if you have an extra guy, you know, if you can get that extra guy to where that player is, or if you can, you know, take a guy who would normally be in the pass pattern and let him either bump the guy on the way out or just block him and lose him in the pass pattern. So, I mean, there's a lot of different ways you could try to get help in the passing game if they don't blitz. If they blitz, then you need all the guys that you have to pick them up. You don't want to be double-teaming one guy and letting somebody else come free. So, again, there's a lot of different ways to do that, but I'd say those are basically what your options are if you want to definitely try to get help, you know, get your line slid that way or keep an extra guy in on that side.
Do they blitz a lot?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they do. Well, I mean, they bring five a lot, and they bring six some, but they bring five quite a bit.
And Watt's not always in the same place. He
flips sides in their base defense, depending on the formation, and then in their sub defense, they usually line him up to the offensive right. But they run a lot of games with him, so even though he's lined up in one spot, when the ball snapped, he could be rushing out here or out. It's not always just straight ahead. They do a good job of running games with a four man line. And they also mix in games with their fifth rusher. So your left guard, your left tackle, your center, really anybody could end up on anybody because of the multiple games that they run in passing situations. So that's – you could say, okay, well, we're going to help him here, but after the ball snapped, he might not even be there. You know, there's plenty of that. And Smith's active in there and Barwin and – Merciless now, or Brooks Reed, or, you know, those guys, they're all pretty fast, too. So it's kind of easy for them to, you know, to run games and switch rush lane responsibilities because they're fast enough that they can get there. You know, it's not just taking a slow guy and looping around. I mean, those guys are fast enough to loop around and still be able to get to the quarterback. So it's hard to just say, okay, well, we're going to – this guy's going to double him because he's not just the sitting duck.
How difficult is it for offensive linemen to communicate on the fly when they do that sort of stuff, when they mix up where they're going to rush to? Because obviously it's a lot more difficult than just, you know, blocking.
Yeah, it's really, I'd say it's more visual communication, and you just have to have your, you know, your rules. But it's all five guys have to see the same thing. And so if one of them sees it differently than the other one, then this is probably going to be a problem. So, you know, when to pass them, when to bump them, when to stay with them, when to, even though this is the next guy here, sometimes you got to push past that guy to the to the next guy outside of him, but you got to trust that the guy behind you is coming over to get, you know, the guy that's on you. But you know, but that's the way your rules tell you to do it. But sometimes you gotta pass up a guy to go block another guy, knowing or you know, being confident that the guy behind you is going to take that guy that you're passing up. You know, so things like that. So it's about all of them seeing it the same way. But the communication of, well, you know, I got this guy, you take that guy, is really that. I don't think there's a lot of that. You know, it just happens too fast. You just got to see it and be able to know that, okay, you know, I'm getting bumped by him. Well, then I got to push back because somebody's coming around, or, you know, I got to push back away from the protection because somebody's taking me off the guy I have so that I can go get somebody else. And that's how you have to block those games.
Effectively
at
a Friday night, a normal Friday?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep, today's Friday.
I know we spent a lot of time obviously talking about Watt this week, but there are a lot of good players in this roster, but I know you haven't seen him a ton, but Andre Johnson on the other side of the ball, a guy that maybe spoke highly of Wayne or Fitzgerald earlier in this year, but this is a guy that still 10 years in the league, can't find a way to slow him down, it seems.
It's a really special player, does a lot of things well. It's a lot of deep balls, big target, obviously, double moves, go routes, back shoulder type throws. He's a tough matchup for anybody, one-on-one. It's like throwing to a tight end. There's always a place to get the ball to him. But he's also very good on underneath routes, the under routes, the tear screens, even plays like hitches and slants. They hit him and he breaks tackles and like he did in the Jacksonville game. Or he does it every week, really. So, you know, he can take a short pass, a 2-3 yard pass, and turn it into a long run, or he can run by the defense like he did against Denver on the post pattern, and go routes, double moves, stop and goes, all those kind of things. So he's got a good route tree. He's got a variety of routes. Sometimes they put him in the slot. Usually he's outside, but they do move him around, and so you got to find him. But he's good on the catch and run plays. He's good on the vertical routes. He's good in the red area. He can go up and get the ball. He blocks well. I mean, he's a great player. He's done it for a long time. I mean, he puts up big numbers every year, and people are keying on him. They're looking for him, and he keeps producing. He's a hard guy to cover.
It seems like obviously he's a talented guy, can get himself open, but it seems like schematically they find ways to draw it up where all of a sudden he's unaccounted for. Do you mean it?
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely. They do. They this, you know, Gary does a good job. Scheme-wise of balancing everything out, the running game, the passing game, play actions, dropbacks, complementary routes, complementary runs, everything kind of ties together. And if you're stopping one thing, then you're probably light on something else, and it won't take them too long to find that and exploit it. So it's he's definitely open on a few plays where – wouldn't matter who the receiver is, you know, the guy's wide open and it's going to make a big play. But there's also a lot of plays that he makes on his own. You know, he goes up and takes the ball away from a defender, or he takes a 2-yard pass and turns it into a 40-yard run, and, you know, plays like that. So you're right, it's both. It's scheme and it's in the individual player.
Do you remember scouting that Miami team? I mean, was there?
Yeah, he was down there.
He came out, I want to say he was the same year as McGahee, right? Yeah. I remember, yeah, Charlie and I were down there. McGahee, of course, is coming off the knee injury. But, yeah, they had it seemed like we were at Miami every year, and they had, you know, 10 guys. And then it seemed like we were at Florida every year, and they had 10 guys. I mean, there was a little bit of a shift there where Miami, they still had them, but they didn't have as many of them as when you felt like you were working out the whole team. You know, you go there to pro day and work out, and you can't see them all. You know, you got receiver over here, tight end over here, running back over here, a couple defensive linemen over here, corners are working out over there. I got some linebacker, you know what I mean? I mean, so there's wherever you look, you're looking at, you know, just too many guys to watch. And those are the kind of workouts that, you know, it's worth it because you're seeing, you know, 8, 9, 10 guys that are going to get drafted are going to play in the league. I mean, whether you have them or somebody else gets them, at least you know them a little bit better.
Pretty good feeling around the league that this was sort of a special team. I mean, you mentioned the Florida teams, Alabama teams are similar now, I guess, but I mean, that Miami team seems to be just really, really loaded.
Yeah, well, like I said, they were loaded every year. I mean, look at the backs that were down there. I mean, they went from like God, to Portis, to Gore, to McGahee, to, I don't know. I'm sure I'm leaving a couple of them out. But, I mean, they, you know, it's just one guy after another. It's ridiculous. Yeah, and receivers, too. I mean, Wayne and Johnson. And yeah, I mean, it's, you know. Like I said, it was like two or three guys at every position every year. It was, I mean, pro day down there, it was 10 draft choices.
Bill, sometimes life happens along the way while we're making a living, and Tom Brady had another baby this week. How has that impacted his mood, his preparation? What have you seen?
He was like an hour late coming in the day after, but otherwise good. We met yesterday. I mean, I think he's right on top of everything like he usually is. As far as his preparation, we met and went over, you know, their scheme and their players and the adjustments and things we expected the Texans to do and so forth. And he seemed right on top of it to me like he usually does.
You know, about 45 minutes away, from, I think 45 minutes away from kickoff, Army-Navy. Probably have
always
countless
a
memories.
Day.
Is it
yeah.
a, you know, one of the games that I know obviously today might not be able to watch it, but one of the games you must look forward to every year?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's one that seems like everybody in the country's got a rooting interest on one way or the other. They either get some kind of family connections with one service academy or service or the other. And you know, it's a great game for college football. It's a great game for our country. Brings out the patriotism in all of us. So, yeah, it's a special game. There's really nothing else like it. I mean, there's rivalries, but that's such a national rivalry, and it's, you know, it's not about a bunch of guys who are going to go on to play pro football. You know, they're going to go on to fight, and some of them die for our country. So it's, yeah, it really is, on a competitive level, it's about as high as it gets. Yeah, it's great. Great event. Thanks for asking. Okay, thanks.